What a very special privilege is that it is of mine to be here at this very important day in the life of your church. More so because of the relationship I have, special relationship I have with your new pastor. He did his preaching class with me. So there are two things that are going to be at risk in this service. One, my preaching. And obviously, if I am struggling, you're going to be in for it. It has been a real pleasure to know him, however. And it is a unique privilege that among the first things that I have to do in this role is to install him as pastor here. So congratulations, congregation, and congratulations, my friend and brother, Reverend Vincent Linguiti. I am particularly pleased by the fact that when I met him, he said to me during the course of that class that he had a friend that was Jamaican and that he was going to bring that friend to church. Well, you know, people say a lot of things, especially when they want to get good grades. But one day I saw something strange in my church. In my church that I pastored then, people like Pastor Vinny could not slip in unnoticed. So I noticed. So I noticed that Vinny was in church, and he had a friend beside him and a young lady that I had not seen in church before. And to cut a long story short, he honored his promise. He brought his friend that they worked together for years before to church. And I'm proud to say that that family now is a really, really solid family in our church. And they are here today, Joy and Kenny. So one thing we know, he's a promise keeper. And that's a good thing to have in your pastor. Glad to have Angela, my wife, with me here today. Angela has been putting up with me for the last maybe 40 odd years, because we've been married now for 38 years and we had a very long courtship. I wouldn't suggest anyone does that. But we're university students at the University of the West Indies. And we couldn't afford to do anything else. Well, at least Angela was afraid. I was ready, but she was afraid. But she came around eventually. So glad to have Angela here. So glad to have Curtis Dale and his wife Georgia with me. The initiative at Bronx Bethany, led by Curtis Dale, is that some men have sort of followed me around. I don't know, they give their names SEAL Team 6. I don't know if they're armed or anything like that, but I wouldn't suggest that anybody try to find out. So glad that Curtis is here. Curtis has had a long, long tenure working with Cornell University as a professor at Monroe College, and along with his wife, Georgia, who is an educator par excellence, have decided to join the SEAL Team 6 and follow me around and make sure that I get to where I'm going safely. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for your warm welcome and for everything that you have said and done. I have indeed felt the presence of God, that you have been deliberate in welcoming and preparing for this morning. Let's pray. Dear Father, I thank you so much for your people. Thank you so much that you find your people and you come in the midst of them. When they are gathered like this in your name, you come in a very special way. And we have sensed your presence here. Thank you, Lord God, for the joy you bring to our hearts. Thank you for the hope that you give us, even in the most challenging circumstances. Thank you for redemption. Thank you for the transformation you bring in our lives. Thank you for the gifts you give to your church. Thank you, Lord God, for our pastor, his family. Thank you, Lord God, for providing for this church. We pray that now as we look into your word, that the entrance of your word would give us light, would give us understanding. Lord, it would give us the direction we need. In Jesus' name, amen. In the book of St. John, there is a unique picture of Christ. If you read the first three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you have a portrait of Christ that is one of a person who is telling short stories. He is doing miracles. And in a way, you have a good idea of the kind of person. He's a figure that is engaging. He's a figure that is a little mysterious. And we have that picture that we see in what we call the synoptic gospels. We see Jesus in a portrait that is somewhat similar. In the fourth gospel, we see a portrait of Jesus, another side, so to speak, where the story is told in a different way. And the story there is told intentionally. We see in John chapter 20, the writer saying that, "I am telling this story in order that you would believe." You know, there is an intentionality. There is not, it's not just journalists sort of writing a story, reporting, but it is told in such a way that you would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you will have life on his name. So John is very clear that it is organized in such a way to persuade you. And there is a particular structure that does that. First four chapters is showing that the Messiah has come to the world. You know, it starts out meeting people that were from rural Galilee, Nathanael and people like that, unknown in terms of any significance in the world, but these are people who are genuine, and to them Jesus comes. It goes on to show him, you know, being impressive to religious people, you know, Pharisees and so on, people like Nicodemus. But beyond that, it goes into chapter 4, where he signals that this is not going to just be for one set of people, but that there was going to be a significance to the world. woman at the well, the Jew making the unthinkable leap to the Samaritans. And of course, you know the story. In fact, the people, when they met Jesus after this story culminates, says, "We are believing, not just because this woman said so, but we ourselves have seen and heard, and that he is the Savior of the world." Well, the section ends with him going to what we believe is a Roman soldier, an official of the Gentile jurisdiction, and healing somebody from that household. The first part of John saying that which God has done, the eternal God, the Word that was here from the beginning, revealed to us in flesh, has a relevance to the world and everybody in the world. But in the second section of John, from chapters 5 to chapter 12, the Jewish people who should be expecting Jesus, the ones to whom he had come, seem to have a real challenge with the Messiah that is presented. And without going into any detail, this is a section in which Jewish feasts are featured. And Jesus, around these feasts, gives long discourses in order to show that he was the fulfillment of their expectations. But strangely, instead of accepting him, this is a section in which there is constant conflict and eventual rejection. In fact, it culminates with him raising Lazarus, and instead of everybody just believing, I mean, he has raised the dead, and we would expect that that would just really settle it. That really becomes the time where it says that, you know, this man, you know, if we let this man continue to live, it is going to be a problem. We have to kill him and kill back Lazarus. Because we need to just, you know, strange action. It is in this section that I really want to talk about this place in your church's life. Later on, Jesus will spend in John a time with his very own, and that is a wonderful section from 13 to the end, in which, having loved the world, he loved his own, and this a wonderful, intimate interaction between Jesus and his very own. But in this section in which he's faced with controversy, faced with conflict, comes the thought that I want to leave with us today. It is from chapter 9. It is that time when he has healed somebody that was born blind, and they're not quite sure what was going on. And you can read the chapter. It was is a chapter in which there are various nuggets of Christian value. But in verse 4, at the very beginning of that section, there is a verse that I think applies to us very specifically. Jesus is saying, as long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no man can work. So remember the context in which this is said. It is the context in which he is facing almost constant opposition, regardless of what he's done. So he's going to heal and make a man who was born blind see, have his sight. But that is not celebrated. In fact, it is contested. So the whole context is a context of what do you do when what you do is contested in every way. As long as it is day, I must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming where no one can work. In short, then, if you would leave before the sermon ends, you know, because that is a challenge. You know, your previous superintendent, I've just watched him. He's a hero of mine. How he comes and he preaches. Every time he comes to Bronx Bethany, people are so happy because they go out early. And I'm working at it. But the thing that I know is that in this section, time is of the essence. Jesus says, you know, he's aware of the conflict, the sort of engaged contradiction of what he is doing. But he's saying, listen, time is passing. And I am focusing on how I will finish. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming. Time is passing. And when the time has passed, no one can work. This has come home to me very, very forcefully, especially in the last few months, as I assume the role of district superintendent and have had to give up my role as pastor at Bronx Bethany. Towards the end, I was trying my best to implement various things that I had in mind that I wanted to implement. And suddenly it dawned upon me that, Sam, there comes a time when the time is done. And you have to admit that the time has passed and you have to move on. The only thing that I understood it well through is the years of schools that I've gone to. And in all the schools that I've gone to, there is always this factor of exams. And one thing that is true about an exam, I've never been in an exam where, you know, whatever you, whenever you finish, it's okay. You can just keep on doing work at the exam. Every exam seems to have a time in which the exam needs to be done. And sometimes, just after they said, hand in the papers, and I handed, I remembered some things. In fact, I remember the whole approach to the whole thing. And I've had the experience, that experience of just saying, but the exam is done. I think that helped me to understand what Jesus is saying. In the face, sometimes, of an engaged contradiction in the work that you are doing, there has to be a sense that you know that time is passing and the time is going to come when it is over. And at that time, the only relevance is what you did when you had the time. My dear Pastor Vinny, this is your time to do the work that God has sent you to do. There is going to come a time when this time is over. At that time, it can be a time of regret. It can be a time of reflection, wishing that you had done certain things, but it will be irrelevant. There has to be an overwhelming sense of the importance of the time you have and the importance of finishing well in respect of the task you have been given. That must be an all-enveloping attitude that must grip you right now as you are installed as the pastor of this church. Time is passing. Focus on finishing well. So, there is no time for the detractors who will discourage you. Dear Vinny, I wish that I could tell you that as the pastor of Patchogue Church of the Nazarene, the church that has a way named after it, that there will be no detractors. But you would know that that would not be true. Because regardless of how perfect you are, there are going to be detractors. Jesus, I just told you, he healed a blind man. He raised a man from the dead. What else do you want me to do? And yet there are detractors. Regardless of what you do, my dear Vinny, there are going to be detractors. And if you focus on the detractors, you're going to waste time. You're going to waste time that is going to end. And you are going to reflect on what you have done. And your focus has been wrong because your focus has been on the detractors. Detractors who discourage you are thieves of time. Focus instead on the one who sent you. The one who sent you, who knows all about your weakness. You are not chosen because he knows that you are perfect. In fact, scripture tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, that we have this treasure. We have, by God's mercy, we are given this ministry. And we have this treasure of this ministry. We have this treasure in earthen vessels for a purpose. There is a purpose why God doesn't call the perfect people. Because the perfect people tend to think that it is because of them. The word says there, so that the excellency may be of God and not of us. So sometimes you yourself, Vinny, will be a little frustrated if you are like me with your own weaknesses. I wish that I didn't have some of these things. But they are there purposefully so that you will not get it twisted. It is not because of you, but because of the one who sent you. Who knows all about your weakness. He knows all of what needs to be done. And he knows that his strength is made perfect in your weakness. So when the detractors point out that you're weak in this area or that, I'm not saying that you must not try your best to be stronger. I am not saying that you must ignore them. Try to be better. We must always try to be better. But do not focus on those who will discourage you because of flaws you have. Focus on the one who sent you. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no man can work. Jesus has made it very clear that as the Father has sent him, so he has sent us. He has sent us as human beings with our various weaknesses. But he has sent us with the abilities that he gives. He has sent us with the partnership of his presence. Because even though you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, Vinny, fear no evil. Because he who sent you is walking with you. Your rod and your staff, he will comfort you. No time for the detractors who discourage you. Focus on the one who sent you. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, the writer to the Hebrews says, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, focusing on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, that is how he focused. The joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. The genius of being able to press along even in the face of detractors is to focus on Jesus, the one who has sent you. Sent to represent him. Sent to represent him, Vinny. You are going to be the representative of Jesus as you lead this congregation. Sent to reflect him. Do not focus on the detractors. No time to focus on the distractions which will delay you. There are going to be valid issues that have nothing to do with your mission that is going to come to delay you. You see, the issue is time is of the essence. You have a set time to do what you have to do, Vinny. You don't have all the time. There is going to come a time like it came for me when this assignment is going to be another assignment and then it is going to be over. You have to do what you have to do now while it is there, according to Jesus, because the night comes when no man can work. Time is up. It means, therefore, that you cannot afford to spend any time with distractions that delay. We have the story of Nehemiah building the wall. Everybody remember that? Nehemiah building a wall. He has a secondment from his job as cupbearer in the empire, going down to build a wall. It is time sensitive. While he's building the wall, various people are asking him at one time to come for a meeting. Now, Vinny, don't get it twisted. I am going to call you for meetings sometimes. But you must note that if the meeting has nothing to do with what you are going to do, if I am simply calling to your meeting to discuss the color of my car, because I know that you're a man of great artistic, there comes a time when you understand that that which is seeking to distract you is simply going to delay you. And if you hear what Jesus says, and if you understand that time is of the essence, you have to focus on your mission, the one what the one who has sent you has sent you to do. What has he sent you to do? Well, we know what he has sent us to do, because he said, as the Father has sent me, so I'm sending you. To preach the gospel to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to set at liberty those that are bruised, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus walked about doing good, healing all those that were oppressed by the devil, for the Lord was with him. As the Father sent me, so send I you. You don't have a different mission. The mission of the one who sent you is the mission that he instituted. Therefore, go everywhere and make disciples of me, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe everything that I've taught you. And lo, I'll be with you always to the end of the age. We don't have a say into what the mission is. The mission is the mission of the one who sent us. I must do the work of him who has sent me. That is, you know, Vinny, if I call you into the district office, and when you check it out, it is about the color of my car, I give you permission to say, sorry, I can't make it. I have to preach the gospel to the poor. There has to be a sense that you're on mission. Mission creep is a thing that is very subtle. And before you know it, you are like selling pizza or something like that. People walking up to you singing glory, hallelujah, and they're selling pizza. You know, the point, it is very important that in the light of the passing time, that you focus on finishing well, having done the work of him who has sent you. If you have no time for detractors, if you have no time for distraction, what do you have time for? What is going to be the genius of motivation? What is going to keep you going when you are challenged by the detractors who want to discourage you? When you are challenged by the distractions that want to delay you? What is going to keep you going? Jesus set his eyes on the prize. All your time must be focused on where this is taking you. Destination. It is very important to understand what is at the end. What is at the end of the time? Because that is what keeps you going during the time. What is at the end of the time? We are told that Jesus said, for the joy set before him. The scripture says of Jesus in Hebrews, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. In other words, there are difficulties that might likely come tantamount to the crucifixion. He endured the cross. Despise the shame. In other words, there are going to be things about your reputation that is going to be at risk. Paul says, but we don't preach ourselves. It is not ourselves we preach. Where we preach Jesus Christ, ourselves as the servants of people for his sake. It is not about you. It is about him. Despising the shame. And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Vinny, I want you in this time you have to focus on the prize. Paul, waiting to be executed by Nero, seemed to have not had a minute of regret. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 to 8. Paul's swan song is indelible in all our Christian minds, in all people that start out at the beginning of journeys like you are starting out in this official installation service, Pastor Vinny. It is a swan song that we should remember. Paul says, as he's waiting to be executed by Nero, "I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time of my departure is near. But I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all those who longed for his appearing." The trick then, the strategy for keeping on with your focus on Jesus, with your focus on the one who sent you, is to be able to keep your eyes on the prize. That is going to cause you to fight when you don't feel like fighting. To run when you feel tired. To run the race. When you are challenged and might even be a little tempted to give up the faith, it is when you consider the prize. The destination is not here. Remember when my mother was getting old and I wanted her to stay here, to keep on praying for me. Took her to Jamaica, where she was going to die in a few weeks. I said, "Mama, you have to pray for me because I'm in New York and I need somebody to pray for me. And you hold on." She said, "Son, eternal life is not here, you know." She had a great sense of the prize. Don't be discouraged by detractors, Vinny. Remember the prize. You can't waste time. Do not be distracted by those who would delay you. Remember the prize. Fight the fight. Run the race. Keep the faith. Because if you do, there's a crown of righteousness that is awaiting you for all of those who love the Lord's appearing. If you do what you have been sent to do, the mission of Christ will be accomplished in this church, and the kingdom of God will be established, and you will hear, "Well done, good and faithful," because that is what we want to hear. Don't waste time. Focus on finishing well. God bless you. We're going to go into this ceremony of installation, and you have had the privilege of having your pastor around you. You have met him. You know that he is a valuable, loving person who is committed from his heart to the Lord. I would like you to stand along with Sister. And I would like you to stand and face the congregation. Good. You see him. For 20 centuries now, in every generation, the church has set aside some of her members for the special training and preparation, ordaining them to serve as clergy. She elects them to positions of responsibility, not privilege. They are to serve the needs of the church. These ministers give up their lives, so to speak, for their lives are not their own. They serve if and when and where and in the capacity that the church invites them to serve. They are the servants of God. The early church referred to them with words which meant table waiter, under row, oarsman in large ships, slave, priestly servant, and shepherd. Today, the minister is seen as pastor, leader, and one who casts the vision. The church ordains only those whom they believe God has called to such service. Will you accept the privilege and responsibility to be the spiritual leader of this local church? If you will, please answer, I will. Congregation, will you, the members of this church, accept support and uphold your pastor as he leads you? If you will, please answer together, we will. During this time now, there are going to be symbolic presentations to your pastor of the instruments that are attendant to this responsibility. There are a number of people on our program that are connected with this pastor, and they are going to come and present. They are known to you, but it would be good if you would follow on and notice who these people are, because these are special people selected in order to present. First, I'll call Reverend Christine Paolino.
Pastor Vinny, it is my privilege to ask you to accept this Bible among us here. It's in the words of John Wesley, a man of one book, and I ask that you proclaim God's word with grace and boldness and without fear.
I'm going to invite Reverend Art Alexander, who made it in spite of the...
You didn't think I was going to make it, did you?
I know you, and I know you would be here.
Pastor Vinny, receive this vessel of water, the water of baptism. And as you do the work of an evangelist and teach your people to do such, and people come to faith in Jesus Christ, which they will, then they can affirm their faith by water baptism. God bless you.
I can't think.
Invite John Mercurio to come.
Pastors, receive this flask of oil as a healer, as a reconciler among us, as a model of spiritual leadership for this church.
Reverend Nick Franco.
Pastor Vinny, receive this communion set and the authority that comes with it to administer the sacrament of Holy Communion to this, your people.
Invite Suzanne Cerruto.
Receive this hymnal and be to us as a leading worshiper at the foot of the cross, so that we may worthily magnify the name of God and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Thank you. Matthew Ostrander.
Vinny, my friend and my pastor, receive these tithing envelopes and remind us often to be faithful stewards of all God has given us. Love you, brother.
Joseph Herman.
Receive this directory with a list of all of our families. Pray for us. Be a pastor among us and help us to be acceptable to the Lord.
Frank Donato.
Pastor Vinny, receive this manual and the duty of teaching and discipling this people, reminding us that we are not just Christians, but Nazarene Christians.
William Cocinato.
Pastor Vinny, I'm very grateful that this is not a real lit candle.
Me too.
It represents the flame of the presence of the Lord. And we pray that you would lead this church into his presence as we worship Almighty God.
When you ask Reverend Nick Franco to come and lead the congregation in the covenantal litany.
We'll have the responses on the screen in bold where you come in, and I'll lead you in. Tony, you guys good? Please stand with me.
It is on.
Hello, that's better. Congregation, will you affirm that you believe that this pastor and this church are to be workers together in the providence of God?
This we do believe and affirm.
Will you support this pastor with respect, loyalty, love, and fervent prayer?
This we will do with God's help.
Fervent prayer, that's the key there. Will you refrain from gossip and proactively build and support a culture of openness and honesty, all girded in grace and in truth, as modeled by Jesus himself? Will you receive the pastor's family as members of our family of faith and love and pray for them as your own?
This we will do.
Will you give sacrificially of your means so that this pastor can be relieved of the temporal cares of this life and thus be able to give full attention to this local church and its mission and vision?
will do with God's help.
Will you respond to pastoral leadership by vigorous participation in the life of this church as it carries out its mission and vision?
Congregation, will you remain standing while there is a reading of scripture from John Mercurial?
It works better that way. Reading from Luke, the fourth chapter, portions of Luke 4, from the New Living Translation. Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. He was led by the Spirit in the wilderness, where he was tempted by the devil for 40 days. And Jesus ate nothing all that time and became very hungry. When the devil had finished tempting Jesus, he left him until the next opportunity came. Then Jesus returned to Galilee, filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Reports about him spread quickly through the whole region. He taught regularly in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read the scriptures. The scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him. He unrolled that scroll and found the place where this was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. He rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, and sat down. All eyes in the synagogue looked at him intently. Then he began to speak to them. The scripture you have just heard has been fulfilled this very day. Everyone spoke well of him and was amazed by the gracious words that came from his lips. How can this be, they asked. Isn't this Joseph's son?
Thank you. Invite Pastor Vinny to give his words of commitment to the congregation. I'm going to ask you to read the do you have it? Yeah. Could you please remain standing?
Before I say anything, I just want to say thank you for.
Got it. Used to the button underneath. I want to thank you for all being here today. And Pastor Sam, I just want you to know that that even though we have been friends for some time now and that friendship continues to grow and that you are my teacher, your grade for the message will be in the mail. Please don't contact me until after you get the grade. I don't try to manipulate or change the mark on your message, okay, in any way. Obviously, this can be a bit overwhelming, and it wasn't that I was under enough stress that when I came in this morning, one of the ushers said, "This is like a coronation." And I said, "Oh, what a relaxing thought." In response to all this, I accept, by the grace of God, and with great gratitude, with his confidence, coupled with yours, to be your pastor. I pledge to God and to you for the resources of this covenant and for the life of this church to be one with those resources and one with that covenant with you. I pledge that this will be a church where God's word will be continued to be spoken in truth simply because of the power of the Holy Spirit who gives us all confidence to do what we are doing here. I pledge that this will be a church where we will expect and look towards God's power to convert, to transform, to change lives, because that's what he has sent us here to do. It is my mission, but it is our mission. It will continue to be a church like every other church that will go and undergo temptations, but will come out on the winning side of things. By his power, we will experience victory. We will be a church that will be enabled by God through Christ to fulfill Christ's mission to its fullest. We will be a church that will console the brokenhearted and the afflicted, just as he has consoled us and healed us. We will be a church of men and women who will be authentic. That's my desire. Mm-hmm. It's always been my desire, not only for myself, but for everyone around me. A church that will continue to witness, not just in word, but most of all in the way we live our lives together. Because that's where it happens. All of this happens in relationship to one another and to others. And I pledge that we will be a church filled with his grace to take on his responsibilities through prayer, through continual prayer. I will pray for you. I've accepted all these symbolic gifts, and they all carry a deep meaning that will go with both Kathy and myself for as long as God gives us strength to be here and as long as we are your servants. I will give my life to this church and to you. I will love you. I commit myself to you. This is home. In so many ways, this is home. I will comfort you when you need to be comforted. I will challenge you when you need to be challenged. I thought of it this week that, as Paul said, I will become all things to all men. Some days you will need a priest. Other days you will need a prophet. And there'll be times when you need a thorn. And I can do that too.
Amen.
But it will be in love and according to what God so desires for us. I pray his leading and his guidance in everything. And I thank God for every individual in this church and for those who are yet to come. Because God is going to bring people.
Amen.
He's going to fill his house. Let us love one another. And in doing so, this place will be a place of transformation. This place will be a welcoming place to everyone who comes near it. Let us love one another. Let us live according to the word of God. I pledge to you last and finally to be fat, to be faithful, to be available, and to be teachable. And in that, I know God is going to work. God is going to work in this place. Thank you. Thank you for everything. Thank you for welcoming Kathy and I. In the bulletin, you'll see a thank you note. Please take that to heart. It is for everyone. Every one of you. God bless you.
Thank you. Pastor Vincent Luquiti, having committed yourself to this work, I charge you to care alike for the young and the old, the strong and the weak, the rich and the poor. By your words and by your life, proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Congregation, since you have willingly and prayerfully called this pastor to work among you, I charge you to willingly and prayerfully support, cooperate, and work together with him in the name of Jesus, whom you serve. I am going to invite the pastor and us, the people, I along with you in congregation, to covenant mutually by reading that which is going to be on the screen. Will it be there?
Yes.
We, the people and the pastor and people of the Patchogue Church of the Nazarene, shall strive to cooperate, create, and sustain an effective ministry that will renew and strengthen each member of this community of faith. We shall actively seek and welcome into membership all persons without regard to their economic or social status, race, or nationality. We shall accept our responsibility for moral and spiritual development in our community, living by Christian standards of good citizenship. We will work together with other churches and denominations in our community for the advancement of Christ's kingdom whenever he has the opportunity to do so. We shall periodically evaluate our church's fellowship and ministry in light of our mission. If the problems present barriers to the mutual effectiveness of pastor and congregation, we shall cooperatively pray, faithfully communicate, and work in love to find solutions in the spirit of Christian understanding. We shall work to ensure that our church appropriately relates itself to the mission, institution, doctrines, and the Church of the Nazarene, and the redemptive mission of Christ in our community, nation, and the world. Amen. I'm going to invite Pastor Vinny and our sister Kathy to come forward here, and we are going to pray together over them. I'm going to invite Pastor Art and Pastor Christine and Nick to come and to lay their hands on them. We're going to pray together. And I'm going to invite the congregation to stretch their hands towards him. Yes. And other leaders here in the church. Yes. Just stretch. Father, we pray that in the name of Jesus, you would take these words spoken in covenant commitment to you and seal them by your spirit and by your blood. We pray that, Lord God, all that you have prepared Pastor Vinny for, all that you have prepared our sister Kathy for, will be accomplished in the time you have called them to do it here. Lord, I pray that you would give him a sense of urgency. I pray that you would give him the abilities that come from you. I pray that in any weakness, he will lean on you for strength. For Lord God, you have promised that you will be with him, that you will never leave him nor forsake him. Remember your people, Lord God. Yes. Cause your people to have a shepherd among them. Yes. Lord God, I pray that the cause of Christ will be led in this community so that redemption will come. Father, we pray that not only words but deeds will exemplify what Christian believers are, and that you will get the glory. In the name of Jesus, amen. By the power vested in me as District Superintendent of the Metro New York Church of the Nazarene, I declare that you have committed yourself to mutual covenants, and I hereby install Vincent Linquiti as the pastor of Patchogue Church of the Nazarene. our new pastor and you, the church, have entered into a new and solid relationship, that of pastor and people. Please greet your new pastor. Please sit. I'm going to invite Reverend Art Alexander to come and speak to us, and then afterwards, the worship team will do this.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, everybody. It's really a joy to be here. I apologize for being a little late. Had a little problem. But on the way out, I was praying for you. Well, actually, I was praying for me. I was praying, oh God, no police, no police, no police. Record time, I made it here. But I just have a couple of words I want to say. First of all, I want to thank Pastor Vassal for the message today. I don't know if that was taped or not. Frank, it was? Great, because that was an excellent, excellent message of truth that, Vinny, you're going to need and appreciate later on also. A lot of truth in that and a lot of freedom. And I never miss a chance to hear Pastor Sam preach. Pastor Sam and I are friends for years. And at one time, I was his boss. Now he's my boss. So I'm glad I treated you well, right? All right. Getting it back at me. I just want to say just a couple of words. The scripture I read this morning, it just came across, was from Revelations, that he said, "Behold, I'm doing a new thing." And God is doing a new thing in this fellowship, in you, Vinny and Kathy, and in this fellowship. And I think that more than anything, we have to remember the life is always on the side of the future, that God is always doing a new thing. Say one thing about Pastor Vinny especially. I've known Vinny and Kathy for a long time. It took me a year to pronounce his last name, so don't worry about it. At least a year. Anyway, and I've known you since you walked into my office, Vinny, Pastor Vinny, and you were a lot younger, like I was a lot younger at the time. And I noticed something about you, and I've known him for years and years and years, so we can't, you know, you can't fool a person for years. You really can't. And the thing that I want to say to the congregation and to remind you, Vinny has what you can't learn. Vinny has this heart for God that just shows no matter where he's at. And I want to say something else. I'm just very short, but I want to say something else. Vinny Linguidi wears his heart on his sleeve. What you see is what you get. So be good to him, all right? I mean, remember, he will love you, and he has an innate ability to tap into what the Holy Spirit is doing. He's quick to, if he does something that is offensive or whatever, to apologize and so on. You've got a real good person among you. And I've known you, 30 years more? Yeah. And so that's what I've seen consistently through the years. So I'm excited about the Linguidis being here, and I'm excited about what's going to happen in this church and community out here. So this has just been a very, very good, I think, send-off for all of us. God bless you, and may the Holy Spirit give you a double portion of His Spirit. God bless you.
I have to make a note. I have to teach people how to turn the microphones on and off. Sorry about that. Why don't we stand in the presence of the Lord and just have a closing song together?
We shall go out with joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you. There'll be shouts of joy, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. And all the trees of the field will clap their hands. The trees of the field will clap their hands. The trees of the field will clap their hands. As we go out with joy, we shall go out with joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills shall ring forth before you. There'll be shouts of joy, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. And all the trees of the field will clap their hands. The trees of the field will clap their hands. The trees of the field will clap their hands. As we go out with joy. And all the trees of the field will clap their hands. The trees of the field will clap their hands. Of the field will clap their hands as we go out with joy.
Amen, 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 amen. And now, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can even ask or think, in this church, through our pastor, be glory to the Lord Jesus Christ always. Amen. Enjoy the fellowship downstairs. God bless you all.